I'm an Alabama fan. I grew up in Cincinnati, and when I moved down south, I got into a church where the pastor and the lay leader were Alabama fans. It was kind of preordained for me to go that direction, I do believe. They had season tickets, and they encouraged me to go. Well, I bought season tickets, and it's amazing how wherever your money is, there your heart will follow, you know. And so I started getting invested in the team, and the more I got into it, the more I found myself wanting to go deeper. So I learned stuff like the fight song. I learned some of the cheers, all right? You know, when the band would play certain things, you know what to say and when to say it so that you're part of this great camaraderie, this great fellowship. I started buying the T-shirts, and there for a while, that's all the T-shirts I had. If they didn't have Alabama on it or something like that, I didn't buy it. I was a fan. Now, I loved being a fan. You know why? You didn't have to get down on the field and sweat. I love being a fan because, you know, your team's playing on a Saturday and you don't get to go. You get to sit down and you get to eat nachos while they're out there busting it, you know, and you get to root, and it doesn't cost you anything to be a fan, does it? It's good. I mean, it can be kind of expensive. I say it costs you nothing. It can be very expensive to be a fan. But here's the deal. We all have something we're fired up about. I mean, if it's not football for you, then it may be the Home and Garden Network that you get really fired up, and you got special persons or designers or decorators that you're really into, and you tape their shows. Maybe you're a NASCAR fan. Any NASCAR fans here? You know, I think NASCAR would be even more interesting if they made them each drink a hot cup of coffee while they drove. You know, it just would make things a little more tense, a little more sporting. But it's amazing to me how many fans there really are out there, and fans of various styles, shapes, sports, activities. There are a lot of fans. We would describe fan or define it as an enthusiastic admirer, wouldn't we? I mean, somebody that's just kind of dyed in the wool. They live, they breathe, they talk. They're excited about one specific thing. So we could basically say we're all fans of something. My concern is that in the church, we have that very same potential to be fans of Jesus. That we can gather on Sunday mornings and we wear the right clothes and we know the right things to say, and we might even be able to quote the fight songs of the faith. But you know what? Jesus is not interested in fans. He really isn't wanting enthusiastic admirers, is he? What Jesus is looking for is followers. He wants people that it's more than just coming on a Sunday morning and sitting in the right seat next to the right people, opening up our programs and singing the songs and clapping a little bit, and then going home and beginning the Monday morning quarterback of, well, you know, the band just wasn't as good as they were last week. Or the preacher, man, I really like that preacher they had last week. What was his name, Joe? I really like Joe. Giving a thumbs up or a thumbs down to everything where we grade and we critique. And that's the thing about being a football fan. We would go to the games, and then on our way back home, we would have this 4 or 5 hour journey from Tuscaloosa back to Dothan, and we would listen to the call-in show. And if things were good, things were really good. But if things went bad, everybody was critiquing the coach or the players. Everybody had an opinion, and most of them just really didn't know anything about the game. They were just calling to vent their frustration. We do that in church, don't we? We go week in and week out, and we listen and we participate to a level, and then we critique it with the idea that we're going to come back again next week because, hey, that's not a bad show for a dollar. Fans. You know, sometimes it feels really good to be a fan, but I think Jesus might be calling us to a bit more because he really didn't care about fans. You know what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9? He said, if anyone would come after me, he must wear a foam finger, he must chant, and he must know the words. And he didn't say that, did he? No, what did he say? He said this, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He's not looking for fans. Jesus is in the business of seeking followers, people that will lay down their lives, people that will get in the game. That's the difference between a fan and a football player, isn't it? A football player is on the sidelines desperately desiring to get into the huddle and get into the game. It's not enough just to cheer. It's not enough just to wish and to hope and to pray. They want to sweat. They're willing to give themselves to try to make the team win, to give themselves over to victory. If we're honest with ourselves, and if we really think about it, what would we call ourselves in respect to Jesus? Are we okay with being people that stand on the sidelines and hope Jesus does well, that Team Jesus will win? Or are we going to be the kind of people that say, I want to be a follower? I want to be somebody that gets into the huddle and actually gets into the game and makes a difference for Team Jesus. I've got three questions that I think we need to answer, ask ourselves and answer to determine whether or not are we a fan or are we a follower of Jesus. The first question I think we need to ask ourselves is this. Why are we here? Why are we here this morning? For what purpose have we gathered in this place at this time with this group of people? What are we here for? If you read through the Gospels, Jesus at various and sundry points in his ministry sort of go out and he would draw a line in the sand. And he'd say, there's the dividing line. And he would separate the fans from the followers. You know, if you want to only do this, this, and this, you're probably a fan of mine. But really, if you want to be my follower, then step over the line and follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is always looking for people to step up in their faith. In one such instance is in John chapter 6. Jesus is at the height of his ministry. He is really popular. Things are really popping. Everybody is wanting to come and to be close to him and to listen to him. And we read that large crowds were following Jesus. Very, very popular. A whole lot of fans. In John chapter 6, verse 2, it says, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he performed by healing the sick. Then if you drop down a number of verses, chapter 6, verses 64 through 66, we see these things. Jesus says to them, yet there are some of you who do not believe. Large crowd following him, yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and those who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and followed him no longer. You see, they loved it when Jesus was working the miracles, when he was providing food from 5 loaves and 2 fish, when he was doing the miracles and performing healings in front of them. A lot of people were all in. They were following Jesus wherever he would go. But verse 2 tells us why they were following him. Do you remember? Because of the miracles. That's why they were following Jesus. They didn't care about the teaching as much or life transformation that he was trying to bring. They were there for the show. They might have been there for the meal ticket. So how about us? Why are we here today? Why are we following Jesus? What is our because? I'm following Jesus because of his miracles, because he's feeding me, because he's a good God and he takes care of me. Why are we here today? Maybe you've come to the beach and you really like to come because of the music. We've got a great band and I'm so blessed to hear them each week as they lead us in worship. Maybe you love the amazing view that we have. I mean, look at that. The sun, the sand, the surf. That draws me every week, but it's not the sum total of why I come. How about, is it that you really like the people that you sit around? One of the things when we'd go to the Alabama games, you had assigned seats, And we got to know the people around us, and we really got to like those people, looked forward to seeing them because they were from all over, and it was an opportunity for us to chat. Why are we here? It's amazing. We got this amazing baptismal font that people swim in. Is that what draws you? I mean, it's great for a while, and it can be a drawing point, but there's some point where that's just not going to be enough to keep us coming back. There's going to be a point where we're going to need something more. And in this passage that we looked at in John chapter 6, Jesus challenges the fans to something more substantial. He wants them to go to a deeper place, to a more intimate relationship with him. And then what happens when Jesus lays that out? Some of them followed him no longer. They didn't want the next step. They didn't want the denying themselves. They didn't want the taking up their cross in order to follow him. No, it's far easier to be a fan, isn't it? We don't want to do two-a-days. We don't want to practice in the hot sun. We don't want to be bruised and broken and put ourselves on the line. And so that's what sadly happens with fans of Jesus. The going gets tough, or the commitment level is being asked more of us, and so we just thank you, Jesus, but I don't want to go that far. Or maybe we begin to feel a little bit of persecution. And can I just be honest with you, American Christians? Persecution is coming, and it's going to get harder and harder to be a fan of Jesus. Because if you're not all in as a follower, it's going to cost you a whole lot more than it's been costing you. And if you are a fan of Jesus, you too may turn around and walk away with him and follow him no longer, because it's just not what you were calling yourself to, not what you had cut yourself out for. Jesus wants there to be a point where we say, I am here, Jesus, because. Just like the other disciples, the ones that didn't walk away, Jesus looked at his main core and he said, you're not going away too, are you? And they said, to whom would we turn? You are the one with life. Jesus is wanting people that are followers, not fans. Which leads us to a second question. Are you all in for Jesus? In Luke chapter 14:33, Jesus says, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything cannot be my disciple. Then over in Revelation chapter 3, he makes it very clear in verses 15 and 16. I know your deeds and that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You see, being a follower of Jesus requires complete commitment. A follower of Jesus will do whatever it takes to follow him. They are loyal and they are completely dedicated and committed. Perhaps you've heard this phrase before. If Jesus isn't Lord of all, then Jesus isn't Lord at all. Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? That's where the rubber meets the road, where, okay, this is getting serious. It is. It's getting serious. Am I a fan of his, or am I going to be a follower of his? On the whole, we don't like all-in type of commitments, do we? We don't like where we have to give everything. We much prefer selective commitment, don't we? We really like our Christianity customized. I hope this doesn't buzz. Let me see if I get down here. Can y'all still see me down here? You see, we like customized Christianity. Yeah, Jesus, I'll follow you. Yeah, I'm all in. There you go. Oh, but this over here, my relationships. No, we're gonna put this one over here, because I don't want Jesus touching anything to do with my relationships. And okay, Jesus, yeah. My Sundays, oh man, I'm all in, Jesus. I'll give you the whole day Sunday. Well, at least an hour or two. Yeah, there you go, Jesus. But ooh, money? We'll go that far, okay? I earn my hard money, and that's about it. And over here, ooh, bitterness. unforgiveness. You know what? I don't think I can give that over to Jesus. We do that, don't we? There's pockets and pieces of our life that, oh yeah, Jesus, I'm all in. I'll give it all to you, as we sang. But are we really? How many of these little cups of our life, little compartments, do we hold back that keep us from being all in, that make us more fans of Jesus than followers? I don't know if it's true for you or how true it is for you, but Jesus doesn't want us to be partial Christians, to be sort of in and sort of out. I ran across this poem the other day that I was really kind of touched with. It's talking about $3 worth of God. You ever heard that poem? Let me read it for you. I would like to buy $3 of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep. Just enough to equal a warm cup of milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of Jesus to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant worker. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of a womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy 3 pounds of God, please. Isn't that the way we go about it? We pick and choose how much of Jesus we want in our life, and we're reluctant to pour everything out to Him and for Him. We have to decide, are we going to be a follower of Jesus or just a fan? Because if we're a follower, we've got to go all in. Fans don't like that idea. They don't like the sacrifice. They don't like the surrenders that we need to make. They don't like denying themselves. But you know what I've found? Is that when I've given myself fully and completely to Jesus, He gives Himself fully and completely to me. Oh, sorry. Sorry if I got y'all wet. Do you see what happens? You see, if I will give myself to Him, He will give all of Himself to me. And really, is it a sacrifice if you get more than you originally surrendered? I give Jesus a little bit, and He dumps out all of heaven. Does that mean it's going to be an easy life? Does that going to be that it's all wine and roses? No, it's going to be difficult. There's going to be times where we will cry. There will be times when we struggle. There will be times when we may bleed for Jesus, but He gives us so much more. Are you all in? Jim Elliot once said, "He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep in order to gain that which cannot be taken away." I got a feeling that at the end of the day, at the end of eternity, our greatest regrets in life are going to be those things that we didn't surrender to God. When we had the opportunity, we just declined. I'm not going to go all in for Jesus there. I think those things we withheld from Him, eternity will reveal that in holding out, we lost out. We could have seen so much more. We could have gone so much deeper. We could have really made a difference. If only we would have gone from being a fan to a true follower. Getting out of the stands and getting into the huddle. So in defining our relationship with Jesus, fan or follower, we've asked, why are we really here? And we've got to ask the because question. I'm following Jesus because. And then lastly, we need to ask ourselves, am I all in? And then lastly, I think we need to ask ourselves the question, have we made it our own? Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And we look at that scripture and we're like, Jesus, I can't hate my mom and dad. You know what He's saying there? He wants our relationship with him to make all other relationships pale in comparison. He wants to be the top. And he wants our love for others to not even be able to compare to our love with him. Many of us started to go to church as younger people. We probably had a drug problem. Any drug problems here where your parents drug you to church every time the doors were open? Yeah, that was me. I mean, it was like Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, choir practice. I wasn't even in the choir, but I had to go. You know, it was kind of one of those things that whenever the doors were open, we were there. And I'll be honest, I went because it was expected of me, but it really wasn't mine. And here's what was crazy. Because I had gone for my parents, maybe some of you, it wasn't parents. Maybe it's you went because of a boyfriend or a girlfriend or maybe an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent took you to church. And you did it more for them than you did for yourself. And you got to church and you got to know in the songs. And you got to recognize in the stories and you've heard the teachings and you even learned the language. But you never owned it for yourself. You ever been there? That can be the most dangerous place, the most dangerous situation to be in. Because if our faith isn't our own and we keep coming week after week, we begin to create a faith that's somebody else's that is very shallow and superficial. We know the things and we can put on a good show and we can fool a lot of people. But when it comes down to it, we're way up here. And we're just fans of Jesus. We've not gotten into the Bible studies. We've not given ourselves over to serving in projects throughout the week and taking ownership of the faith. We've not gone beyond just tipping God. We don't even ask us to tithe. You see, we've become numb to real faith, haven't we? If we've got that just a little bit where we know up here, we miss knowing Jesus here. That's the biggest journey ever, is that 12-inch journey from taking Jesus out of your head and getting him down into your heart. Jesus doesn't want fans. Fans know about Jesus. Jesus wants followers. Jesus wants participants who know him in the biblical sense, the deepest levels of intimacy. I heard this past week and it struck me. It's been said that too many Americans have been inoculated with a slight case of Christianity that prevents them from catching the real thing. Think about that. We've been inoculated with just a little bit of Jesus, and it's kept us from getting deeper. It's kept us and prevented us from catching what Jesus really wants us to catch. Not a religion. He wants us to get involved in a relationship. We've got to make our faith our own. Jesus isn't looking for a relationship with us via our parents or through another secondary person. He wants an upfront, close, and personal relationship between us and him. It's about you and Jesus. Where do you stand with him today? Have you made that statement? Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want to follow you through thick and thin. I don't want to just be in the stands. I want to be on the sidelines. I actually, Jesus, would prefer to be in the huddle. Have you gone there and done that yet? It's easy to be a fan. It's fun to be a fan. But it's fulfilling and meaningful and life transforming to be a follower. If anyone wishes to come after me, Jesus said, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be followers. That you, the God of all majesty, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you invite us to walk with you. You invite us to participate with you. Help us to want to do that. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling today with their faith. They are comfortable and they know they're comfortable and they're afraid of taking the next step, I pray that you would help them get over the hump. For those, God, who have gotten complacent, where following Jesus was once a passion, but now they just kind of want to step back and let others do the work so that they can just enjoy the ride. I pray for them. I pray for those that have never said yes, and they have no idea what we're talking about. They're not even a fan. They're just kind of out there. I pray for them today. Lord, I thank you that your word speaks to us all, and I pray that it would transform us. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Thank you for hearing our cries. Thank you for challenges that lead us to deeper places. Lord, as we embark on this journey of this sermon series, we ask that you would fill it with your presence, that it wouldn't be theory, but it would be practical. This is our prayer today, and we pray it in Jesus' strong but gentle name, and all God's people said,